Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from John Russell and Anna Mateo. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, American car maker Tesla said on Monday that it had invested around $1.5 billion in Bitcoin, an internet-based form of money. The company is expected to begin accepting the digital currency as payment for its cars and other products in the near future. The announcement from one of the best-known American car companies sent the price of Bitcoin up more than 10%. Tesla chief Elon Musk is a supporter of the digital currency. In recent weeks, Musk used the social media website Twitter to praise Bitcoin. Musk said a week ago that Bitcoin was on the verge of being more widely accepted by investors. Last December, he asked if it was possible to do large business deals in the currency. Eric Turner is a vice president of market intelligence at the research company Messari. He says more companies will use Bitcoin now since Tesla has made the first move. He told Reuters, "One of the largest companies in the world now owns Bitcoin, and by extension, every investor that owns Tesla or even just an S&P 500 fund has exposure to it as well." The value of a Bitcoin has reached record highs in recent months. The currency has also gained support from major financial companies this year. The financial services company BlackRock recently permitted some of its funds to invest in the currency. However, government-run central banks around the world do not support the digital currency. The price of Bitcoin has gone up and down wildly since it was created in 2009 by a mysterious developer or group going by the name of Satoshi Nakamoto. In 2017, for example, the price went from $975 on March 25th to more than $20,000 on December 17th. A year later, it was worth less than $4,000. During the pandemic, Bitcoin was trading at less than $11,000 in October of 2020. The price increased to more than $40,000 on January 8, 2021, and dropped to $30,000 3 days later. Bitcoin was valued at more than $43,000 after Tesla's announcement Monday. Tesla said in a document sent to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission early Monday that its $1.5 billion investment in digital currency and other alternative holdings may grow. Neil Wilson is a market expert for Markets.com. He said of Tesla's Elon Musk, "He's now putting his money where his mouth is." He warned, "But given his recent comments and adding hashtag Bitcoin to his Twitter bio on January 29th, it also raises a real question about possible market manipulation." In 2018, Musk was fined $20 million by the SEC for charges of wrongdoing related to his use of social media. Recently, Musk was involved in driving up the share prices of U.S. video game seller GameStop. While more companies have used the technology behind Bitcoin, known as blockchain, the actual uses of Bitcoin have not changed very much. Some businesses, such as Overstock.com, have accepted payments in Bitcoin. Still, its popularity is low compared with normal currencies. Many individuals and businesses will not accept Bitcoins for payments. But that could change if others follow Tesla and begin accepting the digital currency.
British drug maker GlaxoSmithKline says it will team up with a German company to develop new vaccines to target variants of the new coronavirus. The announcement comes as concern grows that some changes, or mutations, in the virus that causes COVID-19 are making the health crisis harder to fight. GSK plans to invest $181 million to support research efforts of Germany's CureVac, which is developing vaccines that use messenger RNA, or mRNA, to attack the virus. GSK said it will also help make up to 100 million doses of the company's existing COVID-19 vaccine candidate this year. In a recent statement, the companies said there is a need to increase efforts against new variants to keep one step ahead of the pandemic. The announcement comes as public health officials around the world raise concerns about new virus variants that may spread faster or resist existing vaccines. While viruses continually change, most of the changes cause little concern. But scientists are closely following new mutations in an effort to quickly identify new variants that might cause problems. Officials in England are carrying out special coronavirus testing in targeted communities. The move is aimed at stopping a new variant before it spreads widely and hurts a nationwide vaccination program. The variant was first identified in South Africa. The British testing effort, involving about 80,000 people, will center on 8 areas where the variant is believed to be spreading. A number of cases were found in people who had no contact with South Africa or anyone who traveled there. Public health officials are concerned about the variant first identified in South Africa because it contains a mutation of the virus's spike protein. The spike protein is targeted by existing vaccines. The mutation may mean the vaccines offer less protection against the variant. We believe that next-generation vaccines will be crucial in the continued fight against COVID-19, GSK Chief Executive Emma Walmsley said in the statement. Crucial is a term that means very important. Walmsley added in the statement, "We will combine our scientific expertise in mRNA and vaccine development to advance and accelerate the development of new COVID-19 vaccine candidates." I'm John Russell.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Throughout the coronavirus health crisis, health officials across the world have been advising people to take important precautions to protect themselves. We have been asked to wash our hands often and correctly. We have also been urged to stay socially distant from people outside our own household. And one of the most important precautions, of course, is to wear a face mask. But as the pandemic continues, some people are now asking, can wearing two masks provide more protection against the virus? The quick answer is, it depends. Some health experts say it is possible that doubling up the masks could help in some situations. One of those experts is Dr. David Hamer. He is an infectious disease expert at Boston University. Wearing just one mask should be enough for most situations, Hamer told the Associated Press. But the mask needs to fit well, he adds, and not be loose. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends wearing a cloth mask made from two or more layers. The mask, the health agency adds, needs to cover both the nose and mouth, and it should fit snugly on the face. But even with the best-fitting mask, some people might want extra protection in some situations. For example, people who are at risk for severe illness if infected with the coronavirus may want to wear two masks. People also may want to double up if they plan to be around others for long periods of time indoors, or must be in an enclosed area, such as on an airplane. In high-risk situations, another expert suggests wearing a cloth mask as well as a surgical mask. Dr. Monica Gandhi is an infectious disease expert at the University of California, San Francisco. She says, wearing both a cloth and surgical mask, with either mask on top, could offer increased protection against the coronavirus. Wearing the two masks that way, Gandhi adds, could have a similar effect as wearing an N95 mask. N95 masks are a kind of personal protection equipment designed for healthcare workers and medical first responders. The CDC does not suggest that the general public wear N95 masks. Gandhi also advises the use of added protection for people who will be indoors in areas where infection rates are high. She offers another suggestion for situations where a person wants to receive the highest level of protection possible. A two-layer cloth mask that has a filter material in between. For people wearing single cloth masks for everyday use, Gandhi has one important piece of advice. Make sure the cloth is made from strongly woven material. She says the mask should also have at least two layers. The layers and tight weave make it harder for virus-carrying particles to pass through the material. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus.
If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites. The World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember with Shirley Griffith. We begin the story of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. In 1932, Americans were tired of the policies of Republican President Herbert Hoover. They thought Hoover had done too little to fight the depression that was crushing the economy. They gave a big victory to Franklin Roosevelt and his Democrats in the elections that year. Roosevelt believed that the federal government should do more to help average Americans. The election brought hope to many Americans in the autumn of 1932. But Roosevelt did not become president until March of 1933, 4 months after the election. And those months saw the American economy fall to its lowest level in the history of the nation.
President Hoover tried to arrange a World Economic Conference, and he called on President-elect Roosevelt to join him in making conservative statements in support of business. Roosevelt refused. He did not think it was correct to begin acting like a president until he actually became the president. He did not want to tie himself to policies that the voters had just rejected. Congress, controlled by Democrats, also refused to help Hoover.
It was a strange period, a season of uncertainty and anger. The economy was worse than ever. The lines of people waiting for food were longer than before. Angry mobs of farmers were gathering in the countryside, and the politicians in Washington seemed unable to work together to end the crisis. Hoover said, "We are at the end of our rope. There is nothing more we can do." And across the country, Americans waited, worried, uncertain, afraid. What would the new president do?
The new president was 51 years old. His family name was well known to the American public. Theodore Roosevelt, a distant family member, had served as one of America's greatest presidents 30 years earlier. Franklin Roosevelt was born to a rich and important New York family. He went to the best schools, Groton, Harvard, and Columbia Law School. In 1910, he won election to the New York State Legislature. He showed great intelligence and political understanding as a state senator, and worked hard for other Democratic candidates. Franklin Roosevelt next served as Assistant Secretary of the Navy under President Woodrow Wilson. And in 1920, he was the Democratic Party's unsuccessful candidate for vice president.
The next year, Roosevelt suffered a personal tragedy. He was sailing during a holiday with his family. Suddenly, his body became cold. He felt severe pain in his back and legs. Doctors came, but the pain got worse. For weeks, Roosevelt was forced to lie on his back. Finally, doctors discovered that Roosevelt was a victim of polio. He lost control of his legs because of the disease. He would never walk again. Roosevelt had always been an active man who loved sports, but now he would have to live with a wheelchair. All of his money and fame could not get him back the strength in his legs.
Many Americans thought the illness would end Roosevelt's political dreams, but they were wrong. He showed an inner strength that people had never seen in him before. Roosevelt ran as the Democratic candidate for governor of New York State in 1928. He won by a small number of votes. 2 years later, the voters of New York re-elected Roosevelt, and they cheered his creative efforts to help citizens of the state who were suffering from the Great Depression.
Franklin Roosevelt always appeared strong and friendly in public. He loved to laugh and enjoy life. But his happy face hid a strong will. Throughout his life, Roosevelt worked to improve life for the common man, and he was willing to use the power of government to do this. He thought the government had the power and responsibility to improve the life of its citizens.
Roosevelt believed deeply in this, but he was less certain about the best way to do it. Above all, we must try something, he said, during the presidential campaign of 1932. Roosevelt believed that the country demanded creative experimentation. Americans in large numbers across the country voted for Roosevelt in 1932. They supported his calls for action to end the Depression. But no one was really sure just what this new president from New York, this man unable to walk, would really do after he entered the White House.
Inauguration Day in 1933 began with clouds and a dark sky. Roosevelt went to church in the morning, and then he drove with President Hoover from the White House to the Capitol, the building where Congress meets. Roosevelt tried to talk with Hoover as they drove, but Hoover said little. He just waved without emotion at the crowd. The two men arrived at the Capitol. A huge crowd of people waited. Millions more Americans listened to a radio broadcast of the ceremony. The Chief Justice of the United States, Charles Evans Hughes, gave the oath of office to Roosevelt. And then Americans waited to hear what the nation's 32nd president would say. He told them he was sure they expected him to speak openly and honestly about the situation facing the country. He told them that their great nation would survive as it had survived in the past, that it would recover and become rich again. He talked about the danger of fear, a nameless fear that blocked efforts to move forward. And he talked about Americans giving their support to honest, active leadership in every dark hour of their history. Here is some of Roosevelt's inaugural address in his own words.
This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance.
Roosevelt's words caught the emotions of the crowd. He seemed sure of himself. He promised leadership. His whole style was different from the empty promises of wealth offered by President Hoover.
Happiness lies not in the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort, the joy, the moral stimulation of work. No longer must be forgotten in the mad chase of evanescent profit.
These dark days, my friends, will be worth all they cost us.
If they teach us that our true destiny is not to be ministered unto, but to minister to ourselves, to our fellow men.
Roosevelt said that the most important need was to put people back to work. And he said the federal government would have to take an active part in creating jobs. Roosevelt said there were many ways to help the nation recover. But, he said, it would never be helped just by talking about it. We must act, he said, and act quickly.
Roosevelt had a strong and serious look on his face. He told the crowd that all the necessary action was possible under the American system of government. But he warned that Congress must cooperate with him to get the nation moving again. Then, his speech finished, Roosevelt waved to the crowd and smiled. Herbert Hoover shook his hand and left. Roosevelt rode alone through the huge crowds back to the White House, and he immediately began a series of conferences.
Roosevelt's inauguration speech of 1933 was one of the most powerful and important speeches in American history. Roosevelt's speech was like an ocean wave that washes away one period of history and brings in a new one. The president seemed strong. He gave people hope. The new president promised the American people action. And action came quickly. During the next 3 months, Roosevelt and the Democrats would pass more major new programs than the nation had seen in many years.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.